Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grant Paulson hosts Grant and Danny with Danny Rouillet every afternoon starting at 2 p.m. on our sister station, 106.7 The Fan, which has allowed us to do this every once in a while. Grant's on with me this morning, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. So let me start with a tough one for you, because I'm done talking about Lamar Jackson. I'm not done talking about Taylor Heinicke yet, but I will start by asking you a serious question. If Minnesota decided to make a run at Lamar Jackson and Kirk Cousins was available, let's just say for number 16 overall, or maybe a combination of a second and a third and a fifth or something, would you want him back?
I don't think I would trade a first based on his age and not knowing kind of how much more football he plans on playing. But if you're talking about non-first mid-round type picks, yeah, I think that's a no-brainer. Now, personally, for me, that would be exhausting, I got to say.
Well, what do you mean you for know, you?
Well, Kevin. As people who have long been correct on Kirk Cousins and the – we're within this fan base, so to speak. I got so tired of the discussion and was basically over it when it ended that I've just kind of been calmly correct since, as I've watched him ascend to probably being the number two quarterback in the NFC right now. Having said that, while I don't necessarily invite all of the dialogue back into my life, from a sheer football standpoint for the Commanders, I think it would be a no-brainer.
Which discussion's more tiring for you, the Kirk Cousins conversation or the Taylor Heinicke conversation?
Ooh, that's a great question. You're spinning a couple of hits Taylor Swift style there. The Cousins one went on for a lot longer. But I would say more recently here, the Heinicke one was tough because what we got in that conversation was another reminder, in my opinion, that people can't help themselves with quarterback in this town. And specifically the backup quarterback. No, I think what frustrated me so much about that dialogue was we kind of saw what it was, man. Like, this guy is easy to root for, right? It's an unbelievable story. Make a movie. I'll go see it and eat my popcorn on opening night. But can we stop pretending like this is something that it's not, right? I mean, this is a very clear quarterback that is an excellent backup who you don't want as a starter if you have plans on winning football games. But people just couldn't quit the player. And if it's, you know, a wide receiver like Devin Thomas, or, you know, it's a running back you fell in love with like Marcus Mason in the preseason, that's pretty harmless.
Comparing him to Marcus Mason. Yeah, go ahead.
You know what I'm saying, though? Like, when it's a quarterback and every time someone throws an incompletion or an interception and you're chanting his name at the stadium, that actually does have effects on the operation. And it is my belief that this head coach listens more to fans and to the media in decision-making than probably any coach I've been around.
Yeah, I haven't thought about him from that standpoint. I think he thinks about what he's going to say right before he says it. And I don't know if he really he may be influenced by what fans and what media think, but I think more or less what he is very much a spontaneous thinker. He's not necessarily a strategic thinker. It's who's my audience and what will appeal to that audience today. because we've seen, you know, major 180s on lots of different subjects with him before. But I want to go back to Cousins for a minute, because I actually legitimately just thought of it before, because I know how you think about Kirk, and you know what I think about Kirk, and whatever, the argument's long over. We won it, and that's what it is. But I have read recently where the Vikings could be interested in Lamar Jackson, you know, potentially, and that Kirk might be available. And actually, you know, I think it would take a first rounder to get him, but Kirk Cousins on this team, and I've said this about Aaron Rodgers and Lamar Jackson, obviously, but Kirk Cousins on this team would make Washington an absolute playoff favorite next year.
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind. Yeah, they're a playoff team immediately, and I think they could potentially be a tough out in the playoffs. I mean, you plug a legitimate starting quarterback. Whatever everyone thinks the ceiling of Kirk Cousins is, we could continue to debate that until the end of time. But the fact is, he comes in here, he throws for 4,000 yards and around 30 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. It's something they haven't had since he was here, and before that they haven't had consistently annually since never. And so, yeah, you would immediately become, with a good defense and that quarterback and these weapons, a double-digit win team and a playoff team, and that's why – they should do it. Remember, he was on the list. I mean, they touched base, reportedly, with Minnesota this past offseason,
right,
when they were doing the overturn every stone thing. Now, my understanding on the current situation with the Vikings, and I haven't talked directly to Kirk Cousins, I should point out, but having a decent feel for that operation, what I believe they wanted to do was another one-year extension with Cousins. I believe Kirk Cousins is now in the mode where he wants to finish in Minnesota, if that's possible. And so rather than taking another one-year extension where they may have immediately drafted, you know, Kellen Mond, who isn't terrible, in the third round to then replace him or to begin for life after him, which I don't think would be an unreasonable thing for the record, I believe he wants to play this year, bet on himself, which he's done throughout his entire career, hope that even without Adam Thielen and if they trade Dalvin Cook, he has a very good season, they win football games, and then they lock him up for, say, a four-year extension, a Daniel Jones kind of contract that will finish his career in Minnesota. But to your point, you know, I see the same things you do about Lamar Jackson. I do wonder if it's Washington-like, because, you know, I mean, people can't stop writing about the Commanders and Lamar Jackson. And they've never had interest. They've never once been in that conversation. But if they went and got Lamar and Cousins became available, they should absolutely kick those tires. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, the conversation about Lamar Jackson isn't that Washington's been interested. We've all known they can't pull the trigger on that right now. And even if they could, maybe wouldn't. But the discussion about whether or not you would, if you could, is different.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
What do you think about that? If financially they could, let's just say the new owner was here and either wanted to make a splash or had the money to set aside for a guaranteed deal, I wonder if Ron Rivera would be interested, A, after being burned by Wentz and kind of zigging now at quarterback to spend no money, but B, just in Jackson, the player who's missed about a third of his team's games in the last 2 years, and you're paying a nearly unprecedented amount for.
Yeah, I think, so the answer is unequivocally yes, I'd be very interested, but I would be concerned about the money. I'm not giving him a Deshaun Watson-style deal. I would certainly think about, first of all, this team can't do it. I mean, this is hypothetical. You'd have to clear a lot of space. You'd certainly have to keep him with this core group for 2 years before the contract blows up cap-wise and make a run the next 2 years. But the guy's 45-16, even though I don't love tying a quarterback to overall record, but if we've watched Baltimore play, which we have, we know he's been significantly influential in their games. He's 45-16 as a starter. You put him on this team, and you've got an opportunity to do something that you haven't done in over 30 years, which is contend for an NFC championship with the team that would be the best offensive supporting cast he's had around him. The injuries the last 2 years would concern me. I'm not giving him Deshaun Watson, but I'd probably make the offer of 133 guaranteed, 175 guaranteed for injury that Baltimore did, which he, I think, is starting to realize was a pretty damn good offer. But yeah, like somebody said to me when we were doing calls on this yesterday, Grant, is this a trick question? As if to say, of course you would want Lamar Jackson. You don't have a quarterback. And that leads me to this. Do you think we have a quarterback?
I don't. I'm not convinced that they do. I am on board with the current plan, though, for two reasons. One, I think that the idea of Sam Howell is enticing. I don't believe he should be viewed as a traditional fifth-round pick. I know you've done the numbers and run them in the research, and so have I. You don't get starting quarterback value in round five. And the guys taken where he was taken really just don't become franchise passers. But I don't think he is a traditional pick at that spot. I think it was a weird year. I think for him specifically, it was a really quirky several months that led up to the draft. And I, frankly, in a conference that wasn't where Old Dominion plays at a school, no disrespect to the Monarchs, that is an ODU, I like the college profile, man. I mean, he had a great year throwing the ball, then a really impressive year running the ball. I think in a trending toward mobile quarterbacks league, he can make plays with his feet. I think basically he's Taylor Heinicke with the faders turned up on every single category. Like his Madden grade, you just bump up by seven, right? He's a better runner. He's a better thrower. He's got a better arm. I think he's going to be decisive. So I think he has a chance to be pretty good. My fear is that he's just a really good backup. But here's why I'm okay with this one way or the other. Number one, let's say he's good. They win. Everybody wins. Great. If he's not, then this entire group is out. And for the first time in my entire life, Kevin, I'm 34 years old, they will, with their new owner, presumably, have a GM that's hired, a real-life football GM who runs the building, that will then hire a head coach, that will then hire a quarterback. That's never happened here since I was a baby and they were winning Super Bowls when I was in a diaper. A GM that hires a head coach, that hires his own quarterback. And I think what I like about the Howell situation is even if it doesn't go well, that the floor here is that the quarterback is not going to be an incumbent for the next group. Gruden doesn't inherit Haskins. Rivera doesn't inherit Haskins. Gruden doesn't inherit Robert Griffin. Like, that's what happens with these bad organizations all the time. And for the first time in forever, it wouldn't happen here.
Yeah, the funny thing is when Snyder bought the team, he inherited a recently traded for Brad Johnson, which was the right move, and he wanted to undo the trade and eventually brought in Jeff George that sabotaged the whole thing. No, I know what you're saying. Here's the one thing, and by the way, I look forward to what I think we all believe we're going to get, which is new ownership, and hopefully new ownership that, yes, hires a general manager, a head of football operations that picks the coach and that makes the personnel moves. I'm with you. It'll be a nice, refreshing change. But finding that quarterback, no matter how you do it, is still really difficult. Whether it's coach-centric, whether it's a GM, you know, pulling the strings, it's just really hard to find a franchise quarterback. And so there are no guarantees on that front. With respect to Sam Howell, I'm intrigued too, but my fear is what yours is, and that is that probably the chances are just as good that he ends up being a really solid backup quarterback as they are that he proves to be a starter, not even a top half of the league starter. So,
yeah, I would say that if he was bigger, Kevin, like if he was 6'3".
Well, if he was bigger, he wouldn't have been available in the fifth round.
And there's the rub, right?
Yeah.
He's probably a top two-round guy, and so the whole conversation is different. But let me ask you this. If he was drafted in the second round, just hypothetically, if Washington had taken him in the second round, I believe, and I want to see if you agree, everything we talked about in the national perception where everyone says they can't roll with Sam Howell, they're going and getting Lamar, they're going and getting Derek Carr. I think all that would be different, and I think even you and I talking right now would be different. The whole reason we all assume that he can't do it is because he went in the fifth round. And I understand that that's a reality, but we're basically just saying, we're casting him to the side for that reason. If he was even a third-round pick, like Cousins, fourth-round pick outside of the top 100, very rare, obviously, but if he was drafted a round or two higher, I think we would have more hope than it sounds like both you and I do.
Well, the first thing I would say is I don't think everybody's assuming that he can't do it. I think there are a lot of people that are assuming that he can do it and that prefer to go down this path of, hey, it's Sam Howell. You know, this guy's got the bigger arm and he's Taylor Heinicke, as you described. And people are really excited about the prospects. Look, I'm intrigued, too. He's, you know, I think the way you described it is fair. I think he's obviously a much better thrower of the football. I actually think he's a better runner of the football than Taylor Heinicke. I hope that gets incorporated into it. But it's weird because if they had had their way and he hadn't have played, if Taylor Heinicke hadn't convinced Ron to play him against Dallas, I don't think he would have ever gotten the QB1 label. I think that was... You know, I think that was look over here and forget what happened in the Cleveland game and at the end of the year. We've got our QB1. You can get excited about Sam Howell. But they kind of stepped into it, courtesy of Taylor Heinicke pushing. But to your question, yes, I think that teams in general allow more time for bigger investments. And a second round, you know, pick would be a bigger investment. They allow a lot less time, and I think justifiably so if you look at the track record of guys picked, you know, after the fourth round. They allow much less time for guys that are drafted in the fifth round. And we can talk about him being, you know, sort of underdrafted, but he wasn't picked in the fifth round because of a serious injury or some sort of character flaw. There were a lot of teams that passed on him that made him available at the beginning of the fifth round. Teams that needed quarterbacks.
Yeah, and I think that that is probably the biggest reason why, if I had to go to the table right now and put money down on what he becomes, it's not that he's going to end up making a bunch of Pro Bowls and being a franchise quarterback. But comparative to what they had, to your point, I'm intrigued. I find his skill set to be enticing. I guess what frustrates me about the whole thing is what they're about to do this year, to me, is what you do in the first or second year of your regime. And this is the fourth year of Rivera, a gotta-have-it season, as far as I'm concerned, you know, we don't even know what the new ownership, he could make the playoffs, and they could still want to bring in their own people. But let's just assume that Dan Snyder's the owner or that the ownership has nothing to do with it. In a normal situation, he should have to make the playoffs this year. They've been under 500, and you can say they were 500 at 8-8-1 last year, I guess, with the tie. But since he got here, like the division win thing, it was not authentic. They were a 7-win team. This is the fourth year, in my opinion, not only do they have to make the playoffs, but I think you should have to be able to win probably a playoff game, or everyone should be in trouble. And I guess I'm at a point where it's just amazing to me that there is not more urgency from this operation. It just feels like they're so comfortable. They're going into year two. Let's go get a mediocre offensive tackle, and we'll go get a Wes Schweitzer light guard, and we'll call it a free agency. Like, I just can't believe the seeming... they tell you, I ask these questions to them, and they go, we really like our guys. And I say, your guys keep winning 7 games. So at some point, I need you to like other guys too.
Yeah, there's no doubt that if this were a normal offseason, it would be pretty frustrating. Because you're right, the fourth year, given what's happened in the first three, should be a playoffs or bust season for Ron Rivera. But I think a lot of the ownership stuff has a lot to do with it. Look, I'm out of time, but real quickly, just give me, because I wanted to talk to you about this, but just give me right now your guess on owner, time frame, price.
I think it's the Harris Group. I think we find something out probably in the next, I wouldn't be surprised if it's in the next week, but I'll say the next couple weeks. I think it's 6.2 bill, and I think it gets ratified and voted on at the May meeting.
All right, Grant and Danny, 2-6 on 106.7 The Fan. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
See you, buddy.
Yep.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.